Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
All right, you're welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. So we're going to hear from Conor Murray in just a moment. Lots of text coming in this evening, though, to 53106. Lads, just heard you've Conor Murray on tonight. You might ask him what it's like to have his game questioned for what it is. By my count, for the first time in his career, he's been hoovering up the plaudits for the last few seasons. So has his confidence taken a knock, asks Jerry. Well, we recorded it yesterday, Jerry. He's not live in the studio right beside us, but you'd be glad to hear we did talk about his confidence and how it may well have been knocked by what's gone on between his injury and a dip in form over the past 6 to 8 months. Get Murray to talk about whether the players are strangled by Joe Schmidt or if it's the opposite. His very defined way of playing takes the pressure off the team in terms of decision making from Paul, a 17-year-old scrum half in the making. We'll chat about that as well, as it so happens. And as I say, we did put these points to Conor Murray when I spoke to him yesterday. He was in town to help announce that Pinergy, the official energy partner to Munster Rugby, will now be supplying all of its customers with electricity from 100% renewable energy sources, reducing their carbon footprint to zero. Pinergy Ambassador Conor Murray has been helping to spread the word, and I caught up with him yesterday. All right, Conor, thanks a lot for talking to us. Good week.
Yeah, good week for a change. a good game to get through. A bit of a buzz being back with Munster. European week, and we had a big test. It was a tough game over in Edinburgh, and came down to fine margins, and thankfully we came out on the right side.
There was a sense as the game was going on that Munster knew how to win games like this. That sort of muscle memory, I think Liam Tolan talks about all the time, that historically with 20 minutes left that something magical can happen. Are you ever aware of that on the pitch? Like, are you an hour gone and it's that tight? Are you always believing, something's going to just fall for us here?
Oh, I wish I had that belief Liam has, but no, it's not to do with Munster. It's to do with a team that believes in itself. I think we always knew it was going to be tough, like I said, against Edinburgh, and we knew, it would take maybe to the 60-minute mark. Like, we played them in the playoff or the quarterfinal of the Pro 14 last year at home in Thomond Park, and it was a very, very similar game that nothing really happened for 60 minutes, and then eventually we broke them down because we just stayed in the game that little bit longer, and we knew it was going to be no different this week or last weekend on Saturday, and we knew there would be opportunities to take. We don't lose faith. We know 20 minutes is a long time in a game. The last 20 there's often points scored, so. And we didn't get too many try scoring opportunities, but in fairness, when we did, Earlsey managed to take two great tries, and Tyler coming on and slotting that conversion from the sideline made a huge difference, made a 4-point buffer, and then I think the five odd minutes at the end to hold them out defensively was probably the most enjoyable defensive set I've been part of, because we, they were putting us under pressure, but we kept making our hits and driving them back and bringing line speed, and the buzz of the final whistle was fantastic.
How's Tyke Byrne been the last couple of days?
I don't know.
Getting a bit of stick.
Yeah, he could be still sore. I don't know. You'd have to ask him yourself.
It was a heavy landing.
Yeah, he's a big man.
Does he get a bit of abuse about that in the dressing room, or does it take a serious twist?
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because I just saw the penalty being reversed, and I was relieved because I think Van der Vaart would have kicked it from 40 metres. That guy doesn't miss much, so when it was reversed, I was just pleased. And then later on, I think he was saying that he was like, "Geez, I'm getting a bit of stick on Twitter here," and I was like, "Why?" And then I saw it on someone's phone, and I think in slow motion it looks bad, or it doesn't look bad. But then if you just play it in real time, I'm fully convinced. I've looked at it; it's a penalty. But a letter of the law, it is a penalty. Someone said, it was a bit of an elbow. It was more than it was like. It was Schumann's full arm or a bit of a shoulder that connected with Tygan. That obstruction in itself is a penalty. It is. It just is. And sometimes the ref misses them, and whether Tyg went down and drew the ref's attention to it, made him go back and look at it, and got it reversed. I don't know. You'd have to ask the ref. You'd have to ask Tyg how badly he was hurt. So, but I think by the letter of the law, it was definitely a penalty, because you can see Schumann eye Tyg up about 10 metres away, because Tyg is trying to hunt, just be on our defender's inside shoulder, and he gets taken out. So on another day, they could have slipped someone through there, and away they go for a try. So it was definitely like an obstruction.
Yeah, rugby's not a type of game anyways that lend itself to diving the way football does in the terms of the contacts that happen during a game. Like, is it something you're aware of that sometimes you need to make the most of things to draw the referee's attention to make sure you do get the penalty? Because you say it's potentially the most crucial moment of the game.
Yeah, look, it's a fine line. It's absolutely nowhere near football. Like rolling around pretending your leg is broken, I don't think that happens. But like, I can only speak from my own experience. And if I'm defending or if I'm attacking even and I get taken out, particularly when you're defending. So if I'm trying to defend a hole inside someone's inside shoulder and I get taken out or pulled back and I know that gap is widening and someone has the potential to go through there, I am 100% going to try and make the referee see me or hear me and say, look, I'm being impeded here. Because like, if you don't say anything and you just keep running, and then like someone goes through that gap that you were supposed to defend and they score and they don't go back and look at it. Because sometimes you plead with the referee, you're like, please look at that, check that. And they say, no, my decision's made. And sometimes that's just the way it is. So if you are being impeded, then I think you're absolutely within your rights to let the referee know or like try and get his attention somehow. But, you know, rolling around like footballers and screeching as if you've broken something, I don't think I've seen that in rugby.
Yeah. Did you feel you were fortunate that the referee didn't go back and look at Keith Earl's first try? That sort of, was it a WrestleMania 1990 style maneuver?
My childhood. On another day that could easily have been, I've been reversed or try not awarded. I suppose I just saw a little bit of red because we were trying to play off the scrum and they kind of cynically gave away a penalty, just batted the ball down and probably just got a bit frustrated. And I thought Pergas was trying to pick up the ball and delay us taking a quick tap or whatever. So I just flipped him over. I actually ended up hurting myself a little bit more. He kind of landed on top of my head. So, but look, listen, that was something that I have to be a little bit careful of because, you know, on another day that could have cost your team. So maybe a little bit fortunate there. Things like that happen in games on both sides of the ball. Both teams always have some sort of something that could have gone the other way and changed the game a little bit.
Do you find you get frustrated a little bit easier with the way things have gone over the last 6-9 months, from the injury through to trying to get your best form back, the struggles with the national team over the Six Nations, the results, the stick that started to come?
You'd be lying if you said anything different. Yeah, you probably, that's the challenge. I suppose part of my game and what I pride myself on a little bit is just staying composed in the moment and staying composed enough in a pressure situation where you can make the right decision. And at times this season I've been frustrated with the way I've reacted because it takes me off task and I kind of get distracted about what I'm trying to do at the moment. So
do you do much work on that? Do you talking to Enda McNulty when you're around the Irish camp, or maybe other people you talk to?
Yeah, I know Enda well. Chat to him whenever I feel the need to. Same with the coaches, with Joe and Andy and Simon and Richie. You chat to them and you might go through a clip and say like, what are you thinking here? If you remain calm here, you might have been able to see a different option or whatever. So I think in a weird way, it's a kind of been an enjoyable challenge to see can you remain composed when things aren't going so well. So yeah, I suppose when we got into the season a bit and there was a few frustrations and you could see it coming out a little bit, then trying to address it and try and remain calm and try and have a positive your next action be positive and help yourself and help the team in a good way is probably that challenge. So this is the first time this amount of pressure has come on the Irish team, come on me as an individual. So it's about bouncing back from that. And look, there were moments in the Six Nations where I was really happy with. There was moments that I was frustrated with that I'm trying to work on. And Saturday came through. Saturday, I was pretty happy with my game. So hopefully it continues. I want to get back to that level. I know I'm able to play it.
Do you get taken aback by the stick and how quickly it can turn? Because this time last year, everyone's talking about you as the best scrum half in world rugby. There's an injury and there is a dip, and there's a dip in the entire team during this year's Six Nations.
Am I surprised? I'm not surprised by it, no, because when things are going that well, when you're talking like that, like is that the truth? Like you're playing well, but like sometimes people might overpraise you a little bit too much, and then like it that's the danger, that you start believing that and you get carried away. So
is there a danger in believing? I often wonder that, because you're a player who plays better, presumably, when you're full of confidence.
Yeah.
That if people are calling you the best scrum half in the world, as long as you don't completely lose the run of yourself, that actually crazy. It's not the worst thing in the world.
No, I think I've said it. I've done interviews on this couch and I've been like, look, it's, you know, how do you react when people say that? I'm like, it's obviously a good thing because it means you're doing things right and you're doing things well. So that's something you draw on. You're like, one game doesn't make you suddenly the worst scrum half in the world, or like a great game might necessarily make you the best. But I think you have to have a realistic image in your head, or you know, be honest with yourself and say, look, you're at this level now. Like, all you need to do, you need to fix a few little bits here, and you can get back to that. So you had a few tough times during the Six Nations, and you know, had a good break, a week break, and came back refreshed and felt like myself again at the weekend. And that's the challenge now, to consistently produce at that level.
How would you rate your performances during the Six Nations?
Average. The difference between playing, this is my opinion, the difference between playing well and like people rating you, like that you had a good game or a bad game, it's so small. It's really, really small. Like, I can have a really good game and yet throw two bad passes. And like, say one pass is, you know, in the opposition 22, we have a really good chance to score a try, and you throw along the ground or something like that, or something silly that you don't usually do. Then suddenly it's a bad game. So in my head, you know, I was never that far away from playing well. I kept on working at it during the Six Nations, and I felt that we were getting through. It felt like after the French game, felt that there was something that we were, there was results from what we were working on. Then just the Cardiff day was what it was. And after that, you just wanted to get away from rugby a bit. So whatever about that, but in terms of playing well and not playing well, it's small margins. And that's why I wouldn't get too bogged down by it. I really don't, like, I don't see much media. I don't, like, only for like your friends saying, oh, did you see this person said this about you? And I'm like, I didn't. And I would have preferred not to have heard that.
That must be the worst of it, because you even find that on our side, that players hear half of what was said, and there might be four or five compliments about your performance and positives, but actually it's the one negative is the one and that's that the player ends up hearing.
People do focus on the negatives, and that's just the way it is. And I completely accept that. And I actually take comfort in knowing that that's just the way it is. And, you know, you can't really get too distracted by it. So, that's why I don't get too bogged down by it. I know how good I can be. I know I feel fit, I feel strong. I know it's just, you know, like, it takes 1 week to get back to yourself again. And, you know, thankfully last weekend went well, and hopefully this Friday night goes well for me, and we keep on building. So it's not as if you just lose it, you know what I mean? It's just tweaks here or there, or just maybe an unfortunate moment or a mistake or a lapse in concentration, you know.
You don't worry that it's becoming a bit predictable, which was the other criticism of what happened during the Six Nations, that teams are starting to read your box kicks?
No. As a team, I've heard this so many times about, oh, your game plan's real predictable, or blah, blah, blah. Like,
are you discussing that in the camp?
No. I would love to see someone's assessment of our plan A. I would love to, like, someone sit down and go, because someone has asked before, like, what's your plan B? But what's our plan A? I reckon our plan A is so variable and we can adapt, that we can play loads of different types of rugby. So I don't understand when people go, what's your plan B? But like, I'd love to see them just assess our plan A and give it back to us and go, like, this is what you do. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of adaptiveness that we can bring into our game if we need to. Just because we didn't.
What if plan A isn't working though?
But plan A has so many different elements. Do you know what I mean? So like, if we kick and we're not getting any kicks back, like we saw, if you're just focusing on that, if we kick and we're not getting any kicks back, we might go to the edge and kick on the edge, which we did in towards the end, latter stages of the Six Nations, and got a lot of reward from it, got in behind teams and put a lot of pressure on teams. So that's still part of plan A. That's always in our armory. You know, you don't go out one way and say, right, this is all we're doing, we can't do anything else with this. Like, you think on your feet, and that's the way Joe and the staff back us. You know, they back us to not so much change the plan, but to kind of play what you see.
And because that is what I'm sure you're aware, like, that is one of the other questions at times. You're saying you're thinking on your feet, that actually it's overly prescribed at times, that Joe Schmidt is the ruler and what he says goes, and that even though yourself and Johnny Sexton are so vastly experienced, that actually you're running to orders no matter what's happening around you.
No.
That you're not given that sort of freedom.
No, that's something that's out there that's completely false, and I'm not just saying that because that's probably what I should say. It's generally not, no.
Do you have the same amount of freedom to make decisions on the pitch at Ireland as you do at Munster?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, maybe in Munster, if you, it could be a Pro 14 game where you make a decision and it goes well, great. But if it doesn't go well, you might not get punished as much. You know, you know what I mean? You might be playing against a lesser team that might not be able to capitalize on it. Whereas if you're playing in the Six Nations and you make a decision and it doesn't go well, so more often than not, teams are going to capitalize on that mistake. So, in terms of the coach, Joe or Johan, limiting your freedom, not at all. That's why if that was the case, you could pick anyone and play them there. Do you know what I mean? You're there because you're good enough and you can make decisions on the run. Obviously, you've got a game plan and we're really well prepped and really well coached. And that's just a framework for you to be able to try and shine.
How are you physically now compared to a year ago with the injury?
Good, great. I would love to be able to blame my neck for the dip in form or whatever during the season.
Have you had to change anything in your routine at all because of your neck? Like, is your left arm stronger than your right arm, or the other way around? Or
No. It's still the exact same. I think, obviously, just neck strength is the only thing I've really introduced into my program, just to make, you know, since I got a bang in it, just to make sure it's strong enough to withstand the rigors of rugby and matches. So there's not much difference, really. I know people might have said, "Oh, look, his pass isn't as sharp or isn't as strong," but it absolutely is. There was a game against Gloucester where, if there was any doubts, and anyone said, like, we got advantage off a maul, I think, and I ripped a real long pass off my left to Joey, and he skipped under and scored a try. And you know, even in my head, I was like, you know, I've taken a few bangs in the game here, I'm tired, and you're still able to rip a pass. So, the passes that were loose during the Six Nations are down to me maybe a lack of concentration or some miscommunication. It's not down to my body.
Mm. You've obviously played so much rugby as well over the last few years. Like, the lack of concentration, I wonder, do you feel that this break that you're going to have in the couple of months before the World Cup training camp starts, Is this a crucial couple of months where you actually somehow switch off completely, rest the body completely? Have you thought about what you're going to do so that when you go into what could be, what, a four-month stretch maybe?
Yeah.
4.5-month stretch together as a group?
Yeah. My rest holiday plans all sorted and looking forward to that time when it comes around. But in terms of feeling fresh mentally and physically, I generally feel, even though we've been through kind of a challenging time, I feel really good because I've had a bit of a break at the start of the season, and you know, I just want to play as much rugby as I can and get up to speed and, you know, and put in consistent performances and you know, kind of shake off the stuff that surrounded us during the Six Nations, which, you know, Saturday in my head now, Saturday was a big chance to do that, to go out and play well, and you know, thankfully I managed to do that, and you know, for me that's gone now, and I just move on to the next game at Munster and on to the next challenge.
The next game will officially mark you as an old man as well as your 30th birthday, the day of the match against Saracens.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah, so hopefully the stars align and something
special happens. And there might be a party that night.
Yeah, that's the plan. Anyway, it might soften the blow of the big trio.
2 years on from the last semi-final against Saracens, where they were just like so clinical, so professional that day. That probably hasn't changed from Saracens' point of view. You can expect that again. How different and how much better do you feel Munster are now, being able to disrupt that, to being able to put them out of their pattern?
Yeah, definitely, definitely feeling in a better place. And you know, I think the additions we've made to our squad, I mentioned it a while ago with Ty, Joey, you know, with Tyler being fit, with Mike Haley coming in at fullback there. I think, you know, they've made a huge difference. You know, Tyg, especially the amount of times he challenges for the ball on the ground. You know, he's a really good carrier, really good line-out operator, but, you know, he's probably best known for that, like, turnover
king.
Like, yeah, insane. And even him coming in and doing that, like, you know, see Pete, who's probably having the season of his life, the amount of turnovers he's getting, he's probably sees that as a challenge, like, the two of them trying to get more turnovers than each other. And, you know, that just gives us opportunity to turn over ball and get on the front foot and or get territory or whatever. And then, you know, you don't really need to speak about Joey. You've seen how good he's been. You know, that's a massive kind of impact he's had in this team. So in terms of us, if we're just looking at ourselves, I think we're more well equipped than we were in that semi-final back then. But yeah, look, Saracens have, you know, they've Liam Williams now, who's a completely different handful as well. And you know, they'll be even more clinical. They're going to be better than they were 2 years ago too. But look, we're in the semi-final. We're there. We rightly deserve to be there. I think we have the firepower. Like anytime I've eyed off a semi-final, I've said all these things, haven't I? Like everyone has, and you know, I feel this is the time we can do it. But you know, we'll work away, and we'll have a plan, and we'll go out and we'll try to execute it as best as we can. And you know, there's an awful lot of lads hungry to get through a semi-final.
Great stuff, Conor. Thanks for your time. All the Munster fans invited to the party.
Absolutely, yeah, 100% if we win, yeah.
Cheers.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.